Kickoff is brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers, official partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Find your local Midwest Ford dealer at buyfordnow.com. And by the Kansas Lottery Play On app. Scan your tickets for more chances to win. And by T-Mobile, the leader in 5G. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football. GEHA Sports Desk. Here is Art Haynes.
The Chiefs' injury list keeps growing. Wide receiver Mecole Hardman is the latest, questionable for tonight with a knee injury. They're still a few weeks away from the return of Isaiah Pacheco from a broken fibula. Not expected to play tonight, but getting closer to a return is running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But the biggest injury from last week's game was to top receiver Rashee Rice with an apparently serious knee injury. Coach Andy Reid is always positive, but he has to admit the loss of Rice is a tough one.
Listen, I mean, Rashee's had a phenomenal year. Unfortunately, in this league, injuries happen and life goes on. So we have always expected the next guys to step up and roll, and it's no different now. But is Rashee? There's not another Rashee. There's other guys though that are very, very good. So we'll be fine.
Good evening and welcome to the Ford Countdown to Kickoff. The Chiefs have continued to overcome the injuries in their 4-0 start. The return of Kareem Hunt produced a 69-yard rushing game last week. Rice's injury occurred in the first half of that game against the Chargers, and Mahomes turned to rookie Xavier Worthy.
In motion is Sky Moore. Moving short to the right is Mahomes. Gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City! A long bomb! And the Chiefs finally get there! A 54-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy! Patrick Mahomes, a perfect throw, burning Christian Fulton.
There haven't been too many deep strikes for the Chiefs this year. That 54-yarder to Worthy was the longest. There was also a memorable 44-yard strike to Rice in the Cincinnati game. Mahomes says that pass to Worthy was instrumental in last week's outcome.
Whenever you hit those deep passes, it kind of opens everything up because defense have to have more and more respect for any ability to score on one play, and it was big in that game. I mean, they were starting to get more and more downhill because we were running the ball and we weren't moving it and throwing it vertically. And so when we were able to hit that deep one, it kind of opened up the offense at least a little bit. And our goal is to continue to show that we can do that on a week-to-week basis and even more than one time a game.
Now, the Chiefs' defense will have quite a bit with which to contend tonight. The Saints are the highest scoring team in the league at nearly 32 points per game, and quarterback Derek Carr is the eighth-rated passer in the NFL. The always consistent Alvin Kamara is the number four rusher with 362 yards. Chiefs defensive end George Karlaftis is aware of those weapons.
You know, we've played against that coordinator a few times. You know, they have playmakers all over the field, you know, starting with their quarterback, their linesman off to a great start. Obviously, their running back, their receiver, so they're a great team. Their record indicates that and what they've done offensively. So we'll have our hands full. You know, Spags has a great game plan and we'll execute it. So I think we'll be good.
But the Chiefs defense is for real. After carrying the team to a Super Bowl title last year, they've given up only 18 points per game so far this season. So it should be a good matchup between them and the Saints offense. Now in his third year in the league, Trent McDuffie leads all cornerbacks in forced fumbles with 6 during that time and has the second most sacks. And Chris Jones is now tied with Justin Houston for 4th on the Chiefs all-time sacks list. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo says Jones' effect on the defense is far-reaching.
I think he affects every player around him, whether it's a linebacker fitting behind him, whether it's somebody pass rushing along with him, whether it's the protections that we're seeing because of Chris. We got to keep trying to take advantage of that, and hopefully, and him keep playing the way he does is certainly going to help us. I mean, we're a better football team, obviously, when Chris is play like that. Not just sacks, but what he's been doing in the run game, too.
Tonight, the Chiefs will welcome several old friends back to town. Linebacker Willie Gay spent his first four seasons in Kansas City and is in his first year in New Orleans. So is defensive tackle Colin Saunders, who was part of three Super Bowl teams here. But the biggest name of the ex-Chiefs wearing black and gold tonight is Tyrann Mathieu. Spags thinks the Honey Badger helped change the culture of the defense when he was here.
I think he laid a foundation here, especially in the secondary, of some of the things that we do, quite frankly, and the way they operate. I know those years, looking back when he was first here, LJ was young at the time, and I remember him learning from Tyrann. And then, you know, then Tyrann left, and LJ was teaching Trent. And so there's been a trickle down, and I think we owe Tyrann a lot for what he did when he was here.
This will be the 13th meeting of the Chiefs and the Saints, with Kansas City holding a 7-5 advantage. The last meeting was in 2020, when the Chiefs pulled out a 32-29 win in the Superdome. The last time the Saints visited Kansas City was 8 years ago. Alex Smith was the quarterback, and the Chiefs won that one 27-21. Saints coach Dennis Allen is getting his second chance as an NFL head coach. He was not successful in 3 years with the Raiders, and now is in his third season with New Orleans. The Texas A&M grad spent 7 years on the Saints staff as an assistant before being promoted to head coach in 2022. He also spent five previous seasons on the New Orleans staff before going to Oakland. All four Chiefs games have gone down to the wire, but they have managed to win them all. The Saints are 2-2, having let second-half leads slip away in their last two games. In Monday night games at home, the Chiefs are 18-10. The last one was a loss to the Eagles last November. Scheming around the loss to Rice and containing the Saints' versatile offense will be two big keys for the Chiefs tonight. Well, now let's go to GEHA Field at Arrowhead and bring in our executive producer, Dan Israel, with tonight's inactives.
Thank you very much, Art Haynes. Tonight's inactives are presented by GEHA. For over 87 years, GEHA has offered medical and dental benefits designed to meet the unique needs of federal employees and retirees, military retirees and their families. GEHA is your friend in federal since 1937 and the proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's bring in Chiefs sideline reporter Josh Klingler. Kling, despite the Saints having ruled five or six players out already, including former Chief Willie Gay, the Chiefs had all game time decisions.
Yeah, added Jody Fortson, old friend alert, back on the squad. The Chiefs are going to have four tight ends active tonight.
There you go.
So that
might tell you a little about the game plan.
Yeah,
tonight.
Exactly. So they're drawing up some extra plays for more tight ends in this offense, with Rashee Rice, of course, going to injured reserve. And again, now reports are he may have a surgery lined up for this week yet. So Marlon Tuipulotu, so I'm going to start with that one this time.
Nice work.
The defensive tackle, because it's taken me 5 weeks to get his name correct. He is inactive tonight, along with defensive end Cameron Thomas, offensive tackle Ethan Driscoll, and offensive lineman C.J. Hansen. So kind of the normal inactives. The addition of Jody Fortson to the roster, and again, he is active tonight, along with the other three tight ends. So a full tight end room for sure tonight for the Chiefs. For the Saints, as you mentioned, Willie Gay Jr., who made his way around the stadium saying hi to just about everybody during pregame today, but he's out with a hand injury. Taysom Hill is out with a rib injury. Pete Warner, their other starting linebacker, alongside Willie Gay Jr., he's out as well tonight. Cesar Ruiz, their starting right guard, he is out with a knee injury tonight. Defensive tackle Christian Boyd and defensive end Peyton Turner, both inactive, in their third quarterback Spencer Rattler. So they've also sent their backup center to the IR. They brought up two offensive linemen from the practice squad, both of whom may have to see action tonight.
Wow.
In Kyle Hergel and Connor McGovern. And then elevated Jonathan Abram, former Raider defensive back. He's elevated at a safety spot. And a linebacker, Isaiah Stallberg, again, because they've lost two of their starting linebackers of their three. And their third, DeMario Davis, is just coming back from a hamstring. So they've had a boatload of injuries for this early in the season, and a bunch of them here tonight. So a vastly different, maybe, Saints lineup than they had just, you know, 4 weeks ago.
We have so much to talk about. Thank you, Kling. Josh Klingler with today's GEHA inactive list. Troy Aikman will be our guest at the bottom of the hour, but after the break, we'll bring in former Chief Danan Hughes. He'll join us for Chiefs Roundtable next on the Chiefs Radio Network.
T-Mobile has the best 5G coverage in the game, whether you're home or out and about, so you can check out the latest scores in the checkout line. Watch replays in the playground. Or celebrate the game-winning touchdown from the passenger seat. If you're a Chiefs fan who wants to stay connected to all the action, whether you're at home or away, get the best 5G coverage in the game, only at T-Mobile. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
For generations, hardworking people have relied on Ford F-Series trucks to help grow businesses, communities, families. A legacy of capability and technology that has made Ford F-Series America's best-selling trucks 47 years straight. This is the next generation of built Ford tough. Based on 1977 to 2023 calendar year total sales.
With the fall harvest in full swing and the crop well on its way into the bin, it's time to look forward to the 2025 crop. Soil testing with an in-depth analytical approach to determine fertility levels as well as nutrient balance is essential to growing high-yielding crops. Call Nutrient Ag Solutions for all your soil sampling needs to determine where to put your hard-earned $24 into your 25 crop. Nutrient Ag Solutions in Oskaloosa, New Sharon, Eldon, Bloomfield, and Moravia.
Craig Ford is more than just the name of our business. It's my name and my reputation. Craig Ford is committed to providing you with the highest in customer service and the peace of mind in knowing we won't be beat on price. Check out our website at craigford.com and compare our prices with our competitors. Craig Ford won't be beat on price. Let me say that one more time. Craig Ford won't be beat on price.
Catch the Chiefs right here on Thunder Country, KIIC.
Welcome back to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. I am Dan Israel, alongside Josh Klinger and former Chiefs wideout Danan Hughes. It is week five, guys, as we sit here undefeated. The stacking injuries have the national prognosticators kind of questioning how the Chiefs are even going to continue without talent. I have no idea where this precept is originating, though, because I feel like we have more talent still remaining on this team than what we took to the Super Bowl last year.
Well, and it's amazing to think, you know, 4-0, kind of figuring out a way to get through games, but I've lost some pretty big names.
Yeah.
Throughout this season. Guys that were counting on, anyway, to take part, certainly offensively, not a part of the mix. There's now a fresh report here this afternoon about Rashi Rice, and it looks like probably season ender, but maybe better turnaround for next year kind of thing. So, I think they were optimistic they might get better news, but that may be a long-term thing. We don't know about, you know, Hollywood Brown looked like a long-term thing. Isaiah Pacheco looked like a long-term thing, and here they are 4-0, kind of figuring things out, not acquiring a wide receiver at this point, but throwing in a Kareem Hunt out of nowhere who comes on and looked the young Kareem Hunt last week. So they've done a masterful job of piecing things together. A lot of teams, I don't know, Dana, can lose that many talented people on one side of the football and feel okay about it.
So I think there's two kind of schools of thought here. One is if you have a fantasy football mindset, and one if you have a winning kind of focus.
I know where you're going.
Fantasy football, we don't have the stars, we don't have the bulk receiver, we don't have the bulk running back. What are we going to do? Everybody's pulling their hair out. Winning standpoint, we figure it out. And that's exactly what this organization has done.
What if I want to win at fantasy football? Do I have to do both?
No.
I can have a winning mindset.
You cannot do both.
Can I have a winning mindset and well, you get fantasy numbers?
You can't do that. Okay, No, I am a walking example of not being able to do both. I'm in four leagues and I don't win.
Yeah.
But that's the mindset. Is this? We have been around this organization. We're around it every single day. We get to see the elevation, the emergence of young guys, the dependability, the confidence that guys like Patrick Mahomes has and Andy Reid has and Matt Nagy has, and then the same on defense. So we're not necessarily surprised. Yes, in a perfect world, we'd love to have seen Rashi Rice, Hollywood Brown on the same field with Isaiah Pacheco, three-headed monster, and then this old guy, Travis Kelce, I guess everybody wants to say, see what those four guys can do with Patrick Mahomes. We would love to see that in a perfect world. It's not a perfect world. Now, It could be a perfect world in December, maybe in January. Yeah. Who knows? But in the meantime, we just got to keep winning football games.
Were you surprised, though? I mean, I expected Kareem Hunt to take a snap or two last week. I felt like he carried a load last week. Yeah. I think it was 70-plus yards. Now, I know part of that was due to Carson Steele fumbling. I think some of those snaps might have been Carson's that he forfeited when he lost the football. But he came in and he looked good. He looked like he picked up from where he left off.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we have this mindset of because he hadn't signed this season, he had sustained some injuries last year. This is not like a running back getting hurt in January of 22, missing the entire 23, questioning whether he would get signed in 24, then we catching him on the scrap heap and then hoping he'd produce. He has been a bulk kind of running back since he's come into the league. He was a 1-2 punch with Nick Chubb in Cleveland. He's done a great job of keeping himself in shape. And he was licking his chops at this opportunity, not just to get back in the league, not to be a dependable running back, but then to also come back to his home where he was drafted at, where he had his first dose of success here, and be able to showcase to the world that he's matured as a person, he's learned from his issues and his mistakes in the past, and he can still be a viable force for a championship-level team. Like, if there's ever any incentive, and you guys have heard me, where players, you reach deep into yourself to think about and to focus on what you can do to prove yourself on the field every single week. So I commend him for coming in. Like, I've been that player, Dan, where you sit, I got released from the Saints, didn't know what I wanted to do, stayed kind of in shape, but still, you're working out, and there's a lot of players out there that might never get back on the field, might never get back into a locker room, but you're trying to keep yourself in shape. For Kareem Hunt, credit where credit's due. He actually stayed in shape. He was ready for the opportunity. He came back in, garnered enough trust from Andy and Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes that he can be inserted a week after getting here into a lineup and then taking the bulk load there and getting to a point where now he will be the starter tonight. To me, it's one of the great stories.
Kling, I have no, you know, as Dana just spelled it out for you, I have no worries about the running game tonight. But from a wide receiver standpoint, there's still five guys in that room. Those guys have to step up at this point.
Well, and four tight ends now, too. And so I can only imagine what's being drawn on Andy Reid's board in that office.
Mad scientist.
Yeah, out there with four tight ends active tonight. But, yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to step up. Now, the word seems to be, they're not going to make a move at this point in time. Might be a little early if you're trying to make a move with another team in the league for a wide receiver. The trade deadline, as you know, has been noted, isn't for several weeks yet, and so teams would have to decide if they were in or out. Who wants to trade with the Chiefs right about now, too? Probably not. Yeah, that list gets shorter and shorter.
You don't think the Raiders want to try?
Yeah.
I don't think Devontae Adams is coming to KC.
I don't think he's walking through these doors, gentlemen. You're working with what you're working with at this point in time. So now you're asking guys to step up. There's a couple practice squad wide receivers too that are in the mix in practice all the time. Maybe they get a chance at some point too. But it's the guys that are active and can you get to me, guys, just a little bit more? Just give me a little bit more out of Justin Watson. Give me a little bit more, maybe more than a little bit from Xavier Worthy. Get me. Last week and more is Travis Kelce. You know, like everybody just do a little something extra. It doesn't have to be like some massive amount, and that'll rise the entire, you know, the entire group.
So the Cincinnati Bengals have T. Higgins, great game yesterday. Ja'Marr Chase, great game yesterday. Probably one of the top receiving cores in the league.
Yeah.
And what's their record?
They lost,
They lost.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble, and they have problems. Now, from a standpoint of looking at a depth chart, most people from a football standpoint would say, you know what, I'll take that group.
Yeah.
But if it's not equating to wins, then what good is it? And we got some no-name guys that nobody picked in fantasy football that everybody's wondering who's going to be what and what can do what. And Travis Kelce's not producing at the height of what everybody has become accustomed to seeing, yet we're winning football games. So, like, I'm not freaked out by all this. Again, my career kind of speaks to the Nico Remigios, the Justin Rosses, the McCole Hardmans, the number four, the Sky Moores.
I didn't mention Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Could factor in, right?
Yeah, like I know what those guys are capable of because I knew what I was capable of. I felt like I knew what I was capable of. So, like, I'm not freaking out. Yeah, it would be great to have a bulk receiver production-wise, but, like, if each of those guys come out of this game with two catches and Travis gets eight catches and Xavier Worthy stretches the field and has four catches with a big touchdown of 50 yards, like, that's the equivalent of what you would get from a T. Higgins and a Jamar Chase in a unit, from a combo receiver 1-2 group around the NFL. Like, that's what you're going to get from a Nico Collins and a Stephon Diggs in Houston that everybody would clamor to and believe that, oh, this is what you're supposed to have when you have great quarterback play. No, what you're supposed to have with great quarterback play is three letters, W-I-N. You're supposed to win with great players, with great quarterbacks, and that's what we're doing.
I'm glad I didn't have to.
I didn't add any math in
yeah,
there.
This you was like a I short
can,
word.
I can catch up with that part.
He can count to three on one hand.
And guys, I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes could play better too. I'm asking like the Absolutely. Wide receivers to kind of elevate their game, but the quarterback could probably stand to elevate his game a little bit. He has admitted he's probably not at the level that he wants to be at. So if he can take his game up, get back to some of the fundamental things, Dayton. Have you guys ever seen kind of the fundamental things that are, have slipped a tad bit, which he seems to kind of have a little spell of that kind of in every season a little bit, where he's battling the footwork and those
Happy
types of things
and
elevate his game a little bit. I'm not hitting the panic button by any means.
I want to move on to the other side of the ball, but before we do, just a quick answer, if you will. Is it time for Sky Moore to come out of the hiding? I feel like he's underground.
Barbecue or mildew, Dan. That's like, if you are down on the depth chart, you barbecue or mildew. Like, and you have to recognize that it's not anything that the coaches can say. It's not anything that any other player can say. You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? When Rashee Rice went down, I got in on one play and I dropped the ball. Now what am I going to do? Barbecue or mildew? Am I going to seize the opportunity, believe in myself, believe in my abilities, not question my abilities, go out, make plays that I make every single day and have made for my entire career going back to Pop Warner? Or am I going to worry about dropping the ball or making a mistake or so on? You cannot worry about making mistakes. You have to go out and think about the big plays. When I was in college, Josh and I were at the University of Iowa. Hayden Fry was the coach there. Our ritual before every game in the locker room, 5 minutes before kickoff, we're still in the locker room, before the announcements, he would turn off the lights. He would say, close your eyes, turn off the lights. Visualize yourself making a play. Visualize yourself catching that pass, making that tackle, interception, touchdown. Then he'd say, see yourself celebrating in the locker room. Mm. You have to visualize that. If you don't, and if you can't, then this job is not for you. This level of play is not for you. I believe in Sky Moore. I think he's made some great plays for us throughout his short career. And I think he still has some gas in his tank to be able to do that, but he's got to believe in it.
I'm stuck on barbecue or mildew and why those are the only two choices.
Those are. Get just hot. Or be laid up against the side of a tree dying.
I'm starting to think Danon would be better in the locker room talking to Sky right now than with us
because
he's motivating. All right, let's flip it over because I do think a major factor here is the injuries that the Saints are coming to town with. Let's start with a guy who's on the field three quarters of the time when they score, and that is the trickery quarterback, tight end, whatever they call him, Taysom Hill.
Yeah,
he's out.
Yeah, he does whatever is needed, provides a guy that if he's on the field, you kind of have to watch and account for because you're not exactly sure how they're going to use him. So that's big. Their offensive line has been a little bit in shambles. It looks like starting center Lucas Patrick is going to go tonight. He was active but was questionable with a groin injury. He's been down taking snaps with a Derek Carr. So they would have, had he not played, they'd have been on their third center of the third available center of the season. Their starting right guard is out. Their left tackle's been dealing with a back issue, so they're a little bit beat up along the offensive line.
Yeah, Taysom Hill is definitely a guy that's going to be missed. And one thing you recognize about his style of play is it's only one speed. it's fast. Whether he's playing at the quarterback position and he's running downhill in an RPO, or if he's out at the tight end position or running back and they get him the ball out of the backfield, he's going to go somewhere really fast. And sometimes that's, you know, in the day and age where you shake and you bake and you do different things, and they've got shifty guys like Alvin Kamara, the complement of having a Taysom Hill can be detrimental to opposing defenses because you don't know how to play that, because you don't play that very often. So he's going to be sorely missed. But, you know, when you start to see the guys that are not in the lineup or out of the lineup because of injuries, you can almost envision the game plan that they have to employ during the game. And I'm sure Steve Spagnuolo, smart guys like Justin Reed and Nick Bolton and Drew Tranquil, they are recognizing that it's going to be on those guys in the middle core of this defense to stop guys like Alvin Kamara, to stop the short passing routes. You're going to see a lot of horizontal movement with shallow crosses and crossing routes and pick routes and swing routes and screens that are going to get the ball quickly out of Derek Carr's hands and allow those guys to make plays as quickly as possible. One, to negate our pass rush, our blitz packages, and to keep the clock running and keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. So that's the game plan that I expect that we'll see tonight from the Saints.
I think fully, if you look at the Chiefs being undefeated at 4-0, you can lay a lot of that responsibility and achievement at the foot of the Kansas City Chiefs defense. There's no question about that. Tonight, they should feast with this line, in my opinion. They had a mediocre line to begin with, and now they're dealing with backups and guys coming, you know, being elevated off the practice squad. I just feel like it's going to be a feast for them tonight.
I just feel like that they have a chance to set the tone.
Got
to
be careful, though.
I know. They have the chance to set the tone tonight. But then, yes, Kamara, to me, is also that difference maker, right? His ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Chiefs have been a little bit susceptible maybe to some tight end play. While they don't seem to have tight end play, you swing Kamara out, throw him the football, can that create some things that the Chiefs have had some trouble with? But yeah, up front, you'd love for those guys to get after it and set the tone against a group that's probably got a few question marks heading into tonight. I hope it's the front four we're talking about of the Chiefs after this game's over.
And even if with the offensive line issues that the Saints have had, they're still one of the top teams in the league in not giving up sacks. They've only given up 4 sacks on the season. So, like, they've had some plug-in play. They've sustained some injuries. They've had 4 games where 2 of them they were extremely dominant on offense and ever since kind of gone downhill, losing 2 close games. Like, they could be a 4-0 team coming in here had it not been for 2 specific plays against the Falcons and the Eagles. So, like, I'm not minimizing the expectations tonight. I feel like we're a better football team. We're playing on our home field. You go back to the old adage that Marty Schottenheimer used to employ with us: win games at home and win games in your division, and you'll be playing in January. That's what we've seen from this team and this organization during this stretch of time with Andy Reid and especially with Patrick Mahomes, and that's what you got to come into. You can't think any more about bigger about the game than that.
And I do think the play of the Saints quarterback, you know, Derek Carr has been very good this year, so we'll see. Speaking of quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterback Troy Aikman is going to join us next on the Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
This football season, gather around the grill and give your family and fans what they crave. Beef. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot or your driveway, on the drum deck or your deck, beef's the right call every time. So fire it up and treat all of your senses to the sizzling sounds, awesome aroma, and tantalizingly good taste of beef. And make sure to plan your game day menu at beefitswhatsfordinner.com. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Funded by Missouri Beef Farmers and Ranchers.
We're all about giving back to the community we serve. So we're active in organizations that support our kids, like 4-H and FFA, sponsoring events and scholarships. We support local school boards, fairs, and community organizations. You could say our interest in agriculture and the people who make it possible just keeps growing. First Iowa State Bank, your employee-owned community bank. Member FDIC.
This is Nate Ammons with United Country Real Estate. We know the sale and purchase of ag land or recreational property is a big deal. Whether you're looking to buy or sell country homes, farms, hunting land, or any other type of lifestyle property, United Country has the ground covered. Our national marketing program, paired with our local family-owned brokerage, makes United Country Southern Iowa's number one source for ag land and recreational property. View our listings or learn more at uciowa.com.
Your radio home of the Chiefs in Southern Iowa, Thunder Country, KIIC.
Dan Israel, Dan and Hughes, Josh Klingler.